Welcome to Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:45 on the clock. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meetings Act is on the wall. Attendance by observation, Hill, Bountman, Tiemann, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. On the consent agenda, approve general agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held April 10th, 2019, approve all claims through April 24th, 2019 in the amount of $598,014.07, accept claim number 19040114 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc. in the amount of $629, and claim number 19040228 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $109.29 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve and place on file the Cortland Volunteer Fire and Rescue, Odell Volunteer Fire and Rescue, and Adams Rescue Department 2018 annual reports. Approve utility permit number 1124, Lower Big Blue NRD. They will be boring 2-inch to 4-inch diameter, 5-foot below bottom of ditch for 66-foot under county road for a rural water line crossing located in the northeast quarter, section 5, southeast and northwest, quarter section 4, township 1 north, range 7 east, Barnston Township. Approve specs and call for bids on the sheriff's office remodel project. Bid to be opened June 5th, 2019 at 9:30 a.m. Need a motion and a second, and then we can discuss it.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Byers. Is there anything anyone would like pulled off of there or discussed? It may not hurt to discuss number 7 if there's any details that Dave wants to go through.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For the specifications to remodel the sheriff's office, I did show the drawings 2 weeks ago to the committee. He sent another set of drawings. There are specifications in the drawing. I don't actually have a spec sheet. He sent that earlier. That was it was in small print, but I mean it does call out for carpet and you know all the tiles and everything like that. So the specifications are in the drawing, but I do not have an actual bid spec sheet.
Do you think that's required for the bid, or will what you have be fine?
Well, it would be. They'd have to kind of search for it in the drawings.
But he didn't provide anything?
Not an actual breakout on things. He did earlier, but on this last go-round, he does not have a list of... He included the bollards out front, less windows and stuff. But no, I do not have an actual line item spec sheet.
Did he provide a bid form for them to fill out?
No.
Okay. It's not unusual for an architect to just give a set of drawings and you just give a lump sum bid and everything's included, but it's always nice when they do. Do you have any questions on anything that he gave you or any changes that you would make, or is that all taken care of?
No, I don't have any questions on it. It is all in the drawings.
And you're comfortable with what?
Yes, I am.
They're proposing?
Yes.
Okay.
That is pretty much what we all talked about 2 weeks ago. And it's, you know, inside the building is pretty cut and dry. It is just to make space for 4 offices and a lobby. And then no new concrete was added to this. And, you know, what I did not know is when it gets down to heating and cooling. He did not really have any specifications. I don't know if it would just be up to the bidder to bid, you know, whether it be electric heat or gas heat. I know we talked about probably going with gas heat out there. So.
And that'd be something you could talk with the bidder about afterwards to see what they've figured, I suppose.
Keeps in mind what the bidder is going to bid you the cheapest thing he can
right.
find.
If you're not,
throwing that out. You guys are asking for problems if you don't specify what you want. And, you know, I just throw that out because I've seen specs come back and bite you.
If we would want to add anything, you could offer an addendum to anyone that's taking specs out. Like if you've decided on a specific type of heat, even with these specs out to bid, as long as you get that addenda out, you know, in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. So if there are items that you'd like to change prior to the bid, we can do that, because Roger makes a good point.
Eric, you know, just to stay in step with where we've been lately or in the past, why don't we just have him get a bid sheet drawn up, have specifically what we want on there, and let's just be straightforward and have everything up front.
Okay.
Let's not leave in question offices with heating and air that doesn't work, and we're still struggling with it several years after the renovation.
Is there anything other than heat and air that you have question about? Any finishes or anything that you'd like more specific?
No, it was mainly that. The electrical service panel will be down in there. I don't know exactly, you know, what all details that would involve, but it would probably be nice to have an actual spec bid sheet. When I brought this up to the committee on Monday, I did not have this. He brought it down yesterday afternoon.
Roger, what we have on the consent agenda, I don't think. Well, other than, yeah, I guess we're going to have to add the, you know, if we want gas heat, I guess we'd have to add that to the specs. But for the most part, couldn't we approve the specs? Or do we need to wait for that?
I think your previous statement was the most accurate.
Wait for it.
I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. I mean,
should we have a motion to pull 7? Because then we could just push it back to the 19th. You hate to do that, but we aren't ready.
I'll withdraw my motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll withdraw my second.
And the rationale for that is I did not know we did not have specs, so there's nothing to approve. So it's, even the motion itself is probably erroneous because there's nothing to approve. So I would withdraw that motion. And then my next motion would be to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 6 and to consider 7 separately.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Byers. Any additional discussion on the first 6 items on the consent agenda? Vote. 6 in favor. Item 7, then. Would you just like to give Dave direction? Maybe let's get a spec sheet. I don't know what you need for quantities or if we need anything like that, but perhaps an actual bid sheet that the bidders can fill out, and any additional information that you'd want on that. Do we want to put that out for bid then the 19th of June, or to receive the 19th of June instead of the 5th, and we can approve that at our next meeting?
Do you want to pull this item and then we just put it back on our next agenda when we have the specs? And
well,
then
I'm sorry, that's what
stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll just do that, and then I suppose we'll see what you have at the next. Because, I mean, I don't know what kind of speed he's going to get this to you. If you're going to get it tomorrow, we could probably leave it. But if it'll be a couple of weeks, that'd make it tougher. We're getting close, Dave.
Yeah.
And let these people know they aren't doing their job, and we're not happy with them. And if they can't do their job, we're going to pull them. I'll make the motion.
We kind of have limited options, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, this happened 2 weeks ago. I know, you know, I had to push them to get it down here so we could review the plans at that time. And then I did email him, and I didn't get him until yesterday again, so... It has been kind of last minute.
I'm sure he's really busy.
Squeaky wheel gets greased.
That means just keep calling.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Yep, just keep speaking. On the regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 1904014 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc. in the amount of $629.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 1904028 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $109.29. This brings the total amount of claims approved through April 24th, 2019 to $598,752.36.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, second by Byers. Any discussion? Vote. 6 in favor. Committee reports. Well, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none. Building and grounds, winter lights. Welcome back, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave Jones.
Talking about winter lights, we actually still have the lights on the trees outside yet. It has been so wet, we're kind of holding off. Hopefully we'll get some dry yard out there. We can get those down. Some things that we talked about during committee reports, Diode has made it here. They're installing some extra wire, panic buttons. They did need to include some expansion panels to the system because in the past we had Syntrex. To have it all on the same system, they're going to convert it with some expansion panels and have it all go to the same area. This is to take it up to the third floor screening station where notification would go right to them. Phones at the courthouse, the cutoff date is for tomorrow is when they're going to start switching them over. We might notice just a small outage every now and then per office. They'll just go into each office. They have the phones downloaded, but they just need to put a PIN number and an extension number in them. And Dale from Windstream's been down. He's thinking everything's going to go smooth, so I'm crossing my fingers, hoping we have a nice transition from office to office, get that going. So it's tomorrow for the courthouse, Monday and Tuesday for extension, highway, veterans office, and sheriff's office. The roof over at the detention center, they told me earlier this is covered by insurance, but we're getting the roof replaced, and it was supposed to be early May. Now they're pushing towards mid-May on that. We have had a few leaks that we have some caulking especially made for that Duralast roof, and we found a couple leaks that we were able to repair with caulking. So we're just really glad we're getting a new roof on there because that roof did have some serious hail damage, and it's just showing up now. Extension office, Nicole Stoner, she told me about a program for master gardeners. A gal came last week. Desiree Mavis, I believe is her last name. She said if the county would buy some perennial plants and things like that, she would plant them and then she would maintain the plants throughout the summer and fall time. And so that's a good opportunity for her to get some credit hours and for us to. When I started here, we had a nice flower bed on the south side by the cannon, by the memorial. And ever since the renovation at the courthouse, that's just kind of fallen by the wayside. So it'd be good to get that looking nice on that side again. So it'd be south side and then maybe something around the transformer out here, too, to help hide that. And the last thing I just found out here lately, we didn't get official notice, but our vending machine company, they're probably going to pull out those vending machines. They said that we sell so little through those machines that the guys that fill them up are making probably about $3 a shot on their commission, so they're going to pull them out. So I'm open for recommendations. It'd be still nice to have some items in here. How we do it, I don't know yet, but hopefully we can figure something out there.
I think the sheriff...
Probably set up a shop in the clerk's office, can't we?
Mm. I think the sheriff has a pop machine.
He does, and I don't know if you have VVS also. VVS, do they maintain your machine?
We have PepsiCo, I think I like it.
Okay.
I think there's a vending machine in the evidence storage, though.
Pickle machine.
And that is all I have at this time.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Well played.
Oh, I had to kick that dog.
Equalization?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
I'll just make some comments here after the paperclip debacle we had to deal with.
All right, Mr. Bellman.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, it took us a little bit. Yeah.
Us too.
Yeah.
Let's see, inmate boarding, there's about $7,500 there. Some EMS quarterly payments, one to Wymore for $10,000. Beatrice EMS fire was City of Beatrice, $54,000. Looks like there was a general assistance payment to Lancaster County in the amount of over $36,000 for public assistance. Last meeting, we had presentations by Region 5 Systems and Services. There's two participation payments there, one just under $10,000 and one just over $12,000. Again, inmate boarding, Washington County, $14,000. And then there's some fuel charges. The Highway Department had a $30,000 fuel charge. And then county insurance in excess of $47,000. So those are kind of the bigger items that were there.
Human resource, employee relations.
We had a discussion on overtime for a few employees and what's necessary as overtime and what should actually be used as flux time.
Law enforcement, emergency management. Lisa, do you want to run through anything quick? There's a lot of discussion on flood items and potential construction.
I did hand out a report to each of you, and we went over that during the committee meeting, so that kind of gives you an overview. So as time goes on and you have any questions about what emergency management is doing right now and where we're focusing, and obviously right now the biggest thing is through the flood, the 4420 flood. As we are right now with the help of Becky at the Highway Superintendent's Office, and we're working together with that, down to one township that we're just figuring, just doing the RPA on right now and assisting them with that. So Gage County Emergency Management, we actually have our meeting with FEMA's public assistance person, recovery person, next week, next Tuesday. So we'll turn in the hours that we have, which that will consist of the overtime hours for the sheriff's office, my overtime hours. I have some fire districts that are going to turn in some comp time. So that way, as you recall, we can offset some of those hours with comp time on either the 12.5% or the 5%, whatever that magical number is. But we are trying to document volunteer hours. So that's what we'll turn in, because everything on the emergency management side really fell under category A and B, which was debris management and also the emergency services. So the rest of that, townships now will be getting that call from FEMA's scoping person, their person that they will be assigned to, which after next week, I think it is going to consist of the one that's going to be servicing us, so we'll get a better idea of that. So from that point in time, then they'll have about 60 days to turn over their damages, whether they are or are not repaired, if they had to do emergency services and repair. So.
Emergency management, RPA, does that go into the same group as the county roads?
No.
So you're your own separate.
Yeah, so what they had encouraged us to do is, that's what at first we thought, that okay, Gage County Emergency Management can just take all the, you know, entities and pull them all together. But if they would happen to take a certain percentage, you know, of fix it jobs, that, and they lay out the formula a little bit differently, it would be better to have individual RPAs, which is request for public assistance forms made, and have individual appointments and sit down sessions, so that we can still tell, you know, where we're at and the struggles that each one of the townships are having and the things that they're having to do too. we understand, too, that everybody's busy with the townships right now, with farming right now. So we're going to try everything that we can do with Galen's office and Becky and help them through that process. So, and we'll try to convey that to our recovery specialist that comes next week, so especially if we get the same one. So,
but you had your township days so they could come in. And what's the last township that hasn't?
So I think it's Midland that we have to finish up with. There's a little bit of when we entered onto the grants portal system, it's not that they're neglecting it. It's more in a password acceptance thing. So everybody has come forward and participated. We're just waiting on a little bit of help from the password grants people to help us through that. So
we could have some significant.
They sure could, yeah. Mm-hmm. They sure could. So it's not, they're not neglecting it at all.
Do you have any estimates in your head on total numbers yet?
I mean, our preliminary, you know, damage assistance report when we sat down with what Galen had, that was only preliminary. So it was like $457,000, I think, is what we put in for. But we still easily will meet that threshold of our county of $83,000-some-odd. So there's no problem there. And then Beatrice put in for $200,000, I believe it was. So
governor's asked for 95%.
90%. So I did ask about how soon that would be determined. We had a FEMA specialist here again. Our operational supervisor was here again yesterday, and I asked that question again, and it's to be determined. Until they get all the cost analysis from everything in Nebraska, then that request for the president to actually analyze, you know, the damages severity to the entire state then will be declared. So right now we can only figure on 75-25. With the hopes of something awesome, you know, happening down the road. So, but that's all I really have. Just encourage you to, you know, read through the report again and see if you have any concerns. That report does not include the flood. There's just too many things that right now are just, you know, happening. So that was not included in here. That'll be a separate action item report at a later time when we get all of the things plugged in. So. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. We also talked about the construction over at the Sheriff's Department or at the jail for office space. That'll be pushed back another 2 weeks. Getting closer, though. Anyone has any thoughts on specifics? I suppose get a hold of one of us or Dave this week, and we'll try to get that out to bid here before long. Road and bridge.
The rock spots for the townships may be completed this week, and gravel hauling for the spring allotment is going to begin this week. Galen had the traffic counters out for the Holmesville Blue Springs Blacktop, one of which did not work, so they'll be back out again. And in regards to that road, Galen and myself drove that road with a representative of Hot In Place Recycling, and we drove that road as well as the South 89th Road going to the Coke plant and the Rockford Road going down to Rockford Lake. Had a report of an accident on Sargent Road, which Galen had looked over. There was no significant rutting at that time, although it was somewhat washboarded up again, which it tends to be because of the traffic. And as Matt emphasized, the roads are not in ideal condition. Stay on the blacktops when possible and slow down. And Galen is going to ask for an accident history on Sargent Road and get traffic counts on it as well. We discussed the ability to reduce speed limits when roads are in a flood deter. Galen is going to check on that ability to do that. So, I don't know if Galen has any comments on any of those.
Nothing to update on.
Okay.
I wasn't here Monday. Sargent Road, what was the discussion? I drive that a lot, and I've never seen an accident there. Has there been a lot of accidents on it, Galen?
Well, on the, back in,
Well, Galen, will you come to the mic just for record?
We did put out traffic counters and did get a 10-year accident history. Let's see what the date on that was. Back in 2017, And there was, as far as rollover accidents in that 10-year period, there was three accidents on that stretch of road. Two of them were injury, and the other one was not. Then there was several, like, deer accidents and like that. But we did take the traffic counts at that time also on that. And on the we put them out for 10 days. On off of Highway 77 on the east end, the average daily traffic was 521. And then on the east end off along First Road or 19th Street, the average daily traffic was 398 on that for average daily traffic on those. So,
do you remember off the top of your head, there were different classifications when we looked at roads? There was I don't remember if there was very low, low, moderate. Do you have any idea where those numbers are for average daily traffic counts?
As far as where they fall for being high or low or whatever?
Yes, I can't remember. There was so much, you know, up to so many cars per day it was considered low. Then up to so many cars it was moderate. I remember when we were talking to the Board of Classifications, there was breakdowns and I mean, I know this would be low or very low, but I can't remember what the actual traffic number was that made it very low or low.
I don't remember that off the top of my head, no. So I do know also when our traffic counters were out, they also do take the speed of the vehicles going up and down that. And to see if the speed limit on county gravel or dirt roads is a statute of 50 mile an hour. And I know when we did the engineer survey on this one here, it did with the 85% percentile that you do use, it did warrant that the 50 mile an hour speed limit was the correct speed limit for this stretch of road out there through the engineer's speed limit survey. So, and it varied on your speeds. Here's this one, for instance, top speed was 90.7 mile per hour. And then there were some down as low as, you know, like 30 mile an hour. So it just varies. But the average speed did average out to match the 50 mile an hour percentile that they recommend having that road at.
There was I drive that road every once in a while, just check it, and I hardly ever even, I can't remember anybody ever meeting a car going either direction.
There was a
always
neighbor,
the only one on the road.
You know, there was a neighbor that had called John. There was a rollover accident there, so it got brought up again. We had talked about giving that to the city, letting them annex it. And there's discussion about giving a letter to them or presenting that to them, see if we try some formal action, if they'll take that road on. Without providing water or sewer service, it may be unlikely, but they may be willing to take it. We had talked about sending that letter. I guess, is there any opposition to asking the city formally if they would like to annex that road?
I would say we need to ask them.
Is your road a city road?
No, I live on a county road. And I would say mine's similar. Mine's probably more washboarded than this one is, but I would still consider it a good road. Gravel roads get washboards.
Yours doesn't have 521 vehicles on it, though. And that is a high number. I think when we did Hickory Road, those numbers were the high 600, 700 vehicles a day on Hickory Road, and this is similar. It's a lot of traffic for a gravel road. We also discussed, you know, if there's a need for a stop sign at 13th Street to have a three-way stop sign there as well as the speed limits.
You are talking to Minnelli about potentials for stop signs. Is that right or no?
Yeah, and we had previously had discussion about putting another stop sign up presently on the end of 13th Street where it comes on to Sergeant. There is a stop sign there. And I know at one time across the road to the north, we had a request for a stop sign put up there, and that was checked out with an engineering study, and it was said it didn't warrant it on that side over there. Because basically that's a it's still a township-maintained road for that half a block or something on the north side of the road, but it's kind of like a personal driveway for a couple landowners on that side. So at that time, it didn't warrant putting up a three-way stop or a four-way stop, whatever guy might want in there.
There's accidents on the road because people are driving too fast is what it comes down to. It's not because it's a 50-mile-an-hour road. I mean, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of gravel roads. It's a gravel road.
So the benefit of it going to the city would be what? I don't know that they're necessarily going to make it any better, other than it lowers the speed limit.
Potentially lowers the speed
now,
limit.
Because it'd be 35 is if they take it over. But if people decide to not subscribe to that, and they don't subscribe to a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit, there's folks going over that, or they don't want to do that. And, you know, that's practically speaking, that's a cut-around to miss two stoplights there in Beatrice. They can bounce around there, and they can do that. You know, I like the idea of a stop sign to make it less convenient for people to use it as a cutoff, because it is a gravel road. People yep. come off that, and they want to buzz around quick and get up there by that corner and then go north. And so the traffic just there on the north side of Beatrice, it probably is a fair amount of traffic.
Yep.
And even though it's, you know, the roads do get washboarded, and, you know, we've had a lot of rain. So, you know, if we tried to culvert every single area in the county where water goes over the road once every how many years or whatever, boy, we'd have a lot of culverts out there.
I take that route because it's convenient and it's 50 miles an hour instead of driving 35 miles an hour.
I think there's some practicality to look at that. You know, I think I appreciate the landowners contacting folks. You know, that's their primary road and they're concerned about it. And, you know, having citizens contact us and let us know, hey, this is going on, and get a couple more eyes looking at it, I think it's a good thing. But, you know, unless people are going to slow down on gravel, it doesn't matter what speed sign you put up there.
Right.
It's just people
Very
need
true.
To slow down.
And certainly I think it needs looked at. I mean, that 10-year accident history showed three rollovers, and now we've got another one. That's too many for a one-mile stretch, in my opinion.
The unusual thing is, if you look at the ditches and if you look at the road yeah. as a whole, that's not a dangerous road compared to other roads. So it's not the road causing the problem. It's the drivers on the road causing the problem. That's, I guess, where I have a hang-up is, you can't make the drivers better drivers. I think it's probably close to town, so you probably have more people from town driving on it.
I live just north of the S-curve, north of town. Do a 10-year road history on 2 miles there from the truck stop north to Dogwood Road, and see how many rollovers off the road, accidents have taken place on that 2 mile stretch, and that's a paved road that's monitored very well by the State Patrol and your friends. And it's about paying attention and being good drivers. And that's a paved road, so
I don't know. I'll talk to the city again, though. I've talked to them several times, and they've been interested in it. But Don and I will come up with some letter. I'll bring it to them, and maybe that'll move that forward. For the county standpoint or the township, there'd be one less road to maintain. The city would be able to lower the speed limit there, which would be inconvenient for me, and anyone else that wants to take a safe road at 50 miles an hour. But
I drive that road consistently because I get tired of driving around knuckleheads in town, and I can go that way and I don't have to go through the two stoplights, and I consistently drive the speed limit on that road, and I've never fishtailed, had an issue or anything driving that road. It's well taken care of. I do agree with Eric. It probably is some of the knuckleheads that go on that road that probably cause the problem.
Or inexperienced drivers.
The one thing that I would say is that as much as I hate putting up additional stoplights or stop signs, I think that they're a pain in the rear that a lot of times get put in places don't belong. Like 4 and 136. But in this case, it probably wouldn't be bad to have stop signs on the east and west sides of that of that intersection, partially because there's sight obstructions and there's a hill, and it's just when you come up to that stop sign headed north, you look to the east, there is sight obstructions there that I could see how folks would miss traffic coming from the east, and you got that hill that they come over if they're moving at a good clip, especially that east side of the intersection.
There's a stop sign if you go north.
Right, there is, yes, because you come up to that stop sign and you stop there, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
When you look to the east, though, I'm saying stop that traffic that's coming from the east. Yeah. Make them stop there at a stop sign. Because you get traffic coming from the east off of 19th Street headed towards 77. If there's anybody that I think probably more often than not that is speeding on that road, they're coming from the east off of 19th Street headed towards 77.
Where was that rollover at? Do you know, or what portion of that road?
The one that just happened the other day. It was actually east of the 13th Street. Going, starting up that hill is where they actually ran into the earth bank there. So,
I mean, if you really wanted to solve, I mean, if you put stop signs there, that would probably solve your problem.
I know this will be the next thing that gets asked, though. Technically, there's nothing wrong with that piece of road. Do we start putting stop signs in all over the place then? I mean, when you come up to an intersection, you're looking right, look for dust, look for cars. I mean, where do we start and stop? Because do we put these in because it's next to town? There's that...
you got to enforce it. You can put speed limits and stop signs all across the county. You still have to enforce it. That means Gus or Chief have to have patrols out there. Otherwise, and I'm sorry, that's just nature, people, they'll push it. So
I do know one of the...
No, he didn't have extra people to go out there on that street.
One of the things when you do a survey for your traffic signs, one of the main things they do keep in as a factor for this is normally, just like on this road, the prevailing traffic is your east-west traffic. That's your main thorough-through, your... where they have the stop sign on your north-south traffic there at that intersection. That one reason that is put there because that is you have to basically pull up to the edge of the road just a little bit back to be able to see clear to the east on that. So that's one thing they look at is your sight distance for your stop signs, and one of the main things is your prevailing, which is your road taking all the traffic. Normally they don't stop them on that main thorough through like that. So
we have stop signs there. Then we're going to have washboards and ruts like crazy on both sides of that intersection as people are stopping and starting. I mean, there's other consequences as well.
I think we're just fine right now. I don't think there's anything else that we need to do to that road.
And I think, the road is technically an average gravel road. There has been these rollover accidents, and probably they're at fault with their speed, but that don't mean they're not going to fishtail in front of somebody else in the other lane, and they're not at fault.
There's a rollover in front of my house within 500 feet of a stop sign.
Yep.
It wasn't the road's fault. I mean, somewhere or other we have to say it's not the road. We could put padding and bumpers on all the roads. And I understand the neighbor that called in. His concern, I think, primarily is a driveway that comes onto that road. People drive by at 50 miles an hour. It's a concern I have pulling out of my road. I have a stop sign 500 feet away. People don't stop at it. I know that, so I look for cars. People are going to drive by at 50 miles an hour on gravel roads, 90 miles an hour. They're not supposed to, but you have to be aware and be careful. But I understand the concern he's coming with, and if we can talk to the city, maybe they're interested in it. That would take it to a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. That would get rid of a lot of the traffic because a lot of the benefit goes away other than driving behind someone that drives 27 consistently down Dorsey Street. But we'll talk to the city and see if anything comes from it. And I can talk to that neighbor, too, and see if... I mean, we can't fix a normal gravel road and make it something that it's not, I don't think. Unless there's some major issue with it. Do you see any unusual conditions with that road at all?
No, not for the traffic that goes up and down that road. You could have a motor grader on that daily, and you'd still have washboards to a certain extent just because of the amount of traffic on that and the speed of the traffic. So, and coming out of last winter and this spring with all the rain, a lot of our county and township roads still have a lot of soft spots in them. And you get truck traffic and stuff going up and down them, and they're still what I call pumping that road and making the soft spots worse. You can go out and fix those spots by putting rock in them, and you can get them firmed up. But as soon as the heavier traffic starts hitting that road again, it starts still pumping them spots. So people just need to slow down and drive the condition of the road until things get straightened up. It'll take a while to heal them, but they just need to slow down.
This last accident was caused from getting over into the windrow of gravel or no?
I have no idea what caused it. I couldn't tell you.
Okay, I didn't know if we knew what caused that, but we'll see if the city's interested in that road. It is adjacent. They do have a lot of houses along it. There's a chance. So we'll see what they say.
A lot of houses?
Well, there's several. I mean, if you figure a lot being in an acreage sense, I suppose there's half a dozen or more. Enough.
There are not a lot of houses along that road.
So. Okay, I'll change that. There's several houses along that.
Maybe if you stretch.
And they knew what the road was when they built those houses, so it's not like it was a secret.
Thanks, Galen. We also have, this is something we might want to ask you about, Galen.
That's what I was going to ask him about.
Yes. There is a property owner, and do you have a copy of this, Galen?
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to go talk to him about
There's that. A property owner that didn't think he could get in and out of his property, and it was down to one access point. He ended up placing rock. He called it rock. I was looking through here. He put four loads of inch-and-a-half crusher run, if I remember right, and then put screenings, four more loads of screenings on his road, and then five more loads of screenings, gave this to the treasurer as he paid his property tax, and then wanted that material paid for. One of the issues is he put what I think we'd all consider an unapproved product on our roadways now, which may end up causing more problem. The inch and a half crusher run we were using because clean rock wasn't available. Yep. That's not as big a deal, but they did dump screenings, 100 or five loads. I can't remember if they were straight trucks or truck and pups. Approximately 150 loads of screenings.
150 tons. You said loads.
I'm sorry, 150 tons of screenings on the road as well.
Is that south of his place there? Is that a township road?
I'm not familiar with where this road actually is.
I was going to show you.
I guess my question, especially for Galen and Matt, is were either of you contacted about this?
Nope.
No.
This is the first slide.
You know where Wally Sims used to live?
That's a township road to start with.
Almost a full mile.
This is township road.
Okay.
So this is township here.
Yeah. Yeah, from Wally Sims.
Yes, this is the blacktop going north the first owner.
Yeah, well, north. This is.
This is out of DeWitt.
This comes out of DeWitt.
Yeah, I believe
that's turns here by the cemetery.
Yeah, this is town. This is all township.
I can't.
Well, you gotta go through him.
Was that road really in that? That road is usually a fairly strong road.
I don't know which road it is.
It's a township road. That's what I just confirmed with him. I pulled it up on the plat book, so I guess this needs to go to Grant Township.
Yeah, it is a town.
Okay, that was my next question too. This
I don't know if any phone calls were made to the township. I haven't talked to any of the township. I don't know if they were ever contacted for spot rock, which I know we were doing spot rock. If townships would call for that, and we have a spot rock program.
Yes, yes.
If there is an issue though, where someone can't get in and out of their place, the process would be to call you or call the township board, and then see what can be addressed. I mean, yes. No one's allowed to put material down without approval.
Right.
No, not on the roads. Like I said, this is the first I've known of this here on that, and there. He was talking about ruts, and yeah, it's very possible on some of them roads that I looked at when all this thawing was going on, and then all the snow drifts along certain parts of the roads weren't knocked clear back, and when all that started thawing and all this rain, there were some roads that had like a little river running right down them, and if they got on a wheel track that got started, it just cut them down, and it varied 6 inches to a foot deep, you know, and it's all weather-related, then you keep driving on that, and you're making the conditions a lot worse. And I don't know if they had a feedlot there. They're running up and down the road, too, also, because there was a lot of places like that which didn't help the situation at all. So.
But he's got minimal amount of pigs, though. It wouldn't have been like a daily feed delivery there. It would have been I wouldn't even want to guess how often, but it wouldn't be daily.
But no one's allowed to dump material on the road without permission, even if they pay for it, are they?
No. Nope.
Or grade them.
Or grade them.
Not on county roads. Oh. I can't speak for townships, but not on county roads.
I mean, just dumping material on a road is a hazard. You put up loose rock signs, loose gravel signs prior to doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, it presents its own hazard. But we'll have the clerk's office forward this on to the county or to the township board then.
And certainly we had a lot of roads, county roads and township roads that were in bad shape. But if they had an impassable road, they need to contact either the county or the township. And this was hauled by a commercial hauler. And the county or the township, either one, could authorize that commercial hauler to haul that rock. But we just can't have rock going on roads. Without knowing about it.
Well, the cost of it too. Did he get the county bid price?
No,
probably not. If nobody knew anything about it, because they won't give it out.
What was the cost
of the county road?
And the commercial hauler who put it on without the direction
authorization,
they're probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're in the same boat.
Yep.
He did not get
South 114th.
He did not get
the Grand Township.
Did not get county price on the rock, or and he also paid tax on everything.
He was just mad.
Nope.
And he's taxed. That's all right. It's kind of a cute way of protesting.
Yep. But no, it is dangerous just to put material down at random.
Yep.
Well, it's unfortunate because there is a process, and people do call in because the roads do. You know, they do get in disrepair just with weather, and so there is a process that can be aggravating to ag producers that are out there trying to maintain their business, but there's a process to follow to get those improved, and
correct.
So it's unfortunate this gentleman decided to do that, but he shouldn't have had to pay for that. There would have been a process that to follow. So I'm empathetic with his need, but shoot.
Right there, 17. Okay.
Thanks, Galen.
Eric?
Yes, sir.
Who is the hauler?
I was looking for that, too. I saw a Hanson on here. I don't know if...
Because whoever the hauler is should be talked to.
I think the hauler... Well...
There's a Wayne Hanson that is crossed off on one of the tickets.
I think that they need to be talked to and explained that that was not acceptable as far as the county is concerned. For a contract hauler to be hauling product onto the county road without... his approval.
Absolutely.
I think most haulers would know that, though. I mean,
put himself in a lot of liability.
Exactly. Both of them are, as well as they were trespassing.
Right.
We talk about road safety.
Very poor business.
Did the product get graded appropriately? You know, we flag roads when there's new product that's on there that has to be followed up and graded appropriately.
We could check to see who the hauler was, but it's unusual. I mean, most people would know that, I would think, if you're in the material hauling business.
we still in committee reports, Chairman?
We are. We're on Road and Bridge still. Anything else for Road and Bridge? We'll send that over to the Township Board. We may try to contact the commercial carrier as well. On to brighter news. Walker Zukowski will present the Engage quarterly report in the memory of Meyer, and I almost want to call you Zielinski. He would have some new way to say your name each time.
Let's keep it rolling. Everyone have? I think I sent in my report to Don, so you should all have it. I flip over to the back page where it's just kind of a summary of things that we were doing over the last quarter. So I'm reporting on Q3 of our contract, which would be like kind of January, February, March, which typically is kind of a slower time of year just than anything with holidays and weather and everything. But quite a bit of stuff happened in the last quarter. Highlights for us, I guess, was our annual meeting, annual report. Took a lot of time to get our annual report out, so you can see that on our website, or if you want a physical copy, I can get you one too. But what we were trying to really do is with our annual reports is if somebody wants to say what was economic development like, you know, 15 years ago, they can open that book, and it's a really good kind of depiction of what happened. So Aaron did a nice job, I think, putting that together, and really a nice showing of what economic development looked like in 2018. So also at our annual meeting, we had three board members up for election. Andrea Schaefer was reelected, and then for the city's position, Pat Radigan had stepped down, and Tracy Garnett Froschizer took that position or was elected to that position. And then at the county level, Steve Hoovendick, his position went to Aaron Dorn from up in Natom. So there's a little bit of change in our member or in our structure of our board. Then still heading on the annual meeting. We had a site consultant in town for a couple days, and it was really kind of a nice situation for us to have where Erica Estrada, she works for Newmark Franken Knight, and she's out of Texas. She was not only our annual speaker for our annual banquet, but then also we got her to look around town, look at all the things that we're doing in business recruitment, economic development, and kind of pick her brain as to what we could be doing, what we should be changing. So it was, I think, good to have her up here for a couple days, and she kind of opened our eyes to a lot of things of what we should be looking at in terms of demographics and growing our community and growing with businesses and people. So it ended up being a good chance to get her here, and a lot of good things happened with that. Looking back, travel in the last quarter, I was in Italy for a Select USA event. Select USA is kind of the economic development arm for the United States, I guess. And so there's all these different levels. But Select USA in Italy, just they hosted 3 days of meetings in three different cities, Rome, Milan, and Vicenza. And it was just kind of straight action-packed working with companies that are looking at expanding into the United States. So it's not often you can go to a place and every company you're talking to has very legitimate plans to invest in a different country or invest in a specific spot. So, or even oftentimes those companies are even looking at making an investment. So it was good. It was just really good one-on-one networking, working with these companies that are looking at coming over here. And so we have the balls rolling and, you know, just facilitating dialogue back and forth, and hopefully we can get some interest in some of these companies. And then, and I guess on travel, what we're trying to do is just if we're going somewhere, it's hitting on our things that we're focusing on: business recruitment, growing our workforce. Aaron's really focusing on entrepreneurship. How are we growing our own? So in our last quarter, that's where we were: business recruitment in Italy, workforce conference in Omaha, entrepreneurship stuff in Kansas City. So, and then I guess kind of the highlight of our last quarter too, and I wish this could have gone into our annual report, but Site Selection Magazine, which is a national publication for companies, industry, site selectors, did their annual tally for 2018 projects. Nebraska won the Governor's Cup for most projects per capita for the third year in a row. And then Beatrice moved up from number 64th in the nation for micropolitans. We were 64th in 2017, jumped up to number 14 for 2018. That's just straight up number of projects in micropolitan areas. And a micropolitan is a population of 10,000 to 50,000 people. So definitely at the lower end of that weight class and coming in on top for the state. We're the highest micropolitan in the state.
That's probably one of the biggest points that I think gets overlooked is we ended up first, Beatrice ended up first in Nebraska for, I suppose they call it micropolitan also, but communities. So we were number one in Beatrice for micropolitan communities, 14th in the nation. I think that's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what we look at, we don't see the day-to-day that Engage is doing, but they really are getting things done. There are so many things I see as a business person on a daily basis that is flowing out of Engage. Even those of us that aren't directly affected day-to-day, we're indirectly affected still by the progress that's being made. But these are great numbers. The number one in Nebraska, number 14 in the country, and Nebraska being first again, 3 years in a row, I believe.
Yep.
That's great. It gives the governor some bragging rights. It gives us some clout when we're going out to recruit. People like to be with winners, and it's nice to be winning again.
Well, I'm going to kind of jump off that a little bit. That's an enormous accomplishment because not that many years ago, when we, a couple board members on this board with support of this board, met with the city to reinvigorate an economic development group here. We worked with the city, and as we called around and based on advice from NDEB, we contacted other communities. The word on the street was Beatrice and Gage County was closed for business, that we were a dead duck. And if you look how far we've come, and I know you were associated with NDED, so you probably remember some of the conversations that took place then. And if you look at where we sit now and the things that have taken place and the complete tone change that has taken place and the people who are actively sitting at the table and the people who mentor from the shadows to try and make this thing go again, it is absolutely amazing. And those who are around through the end of the old group and in the beginning of the new group know how tough that was and how bad that made the community look and how different it is. The tone is just completely different.
I'd like to thank Beatrice and also the other
absolutely
member communities and the people of the whole county for supporting this because it's a complete tone change.
And the thing is, we're not done.
We're just getting started.
So.
Well, and you know, this award, too, I mean, it goes to Beatrice because they looked at the micropolitan area. But in terms of qualifying projects for this award, I mean, Beatrice had the most, you know, for micropolitans. But that didn't include everything that was out in the county that doesn't really, I mean, it contributes to the overall project for the state. But it doesn't get the recognition or the love. But there's stuff out there. I mean, there's just two ribbon cuttings in Cortland the other day. E-Energy up in Adams is doing crazy stuff. So, you know, there's some other potential investments around the county that, I mean, they're significant. They don't go into, you know, this award where you don't hear about it, but there's a lot of money getting spent, a lot of investment happening all over. So I say I think every time, but thank you guys for making that investment and making this happen, because if you guys didn't pony up and make it, you know, get together with the city and make this happen, then you'd probably still have a closed sign out. So moving forward in this, we're kind of into this last quarter of our first year of this contract. What we're looking at doing, the end of May, we're going to do a BRE blitz. BRE is Business Retention and Expansion. So one of the important things that we do as an economic development group is meeting with our local industries, local businesses, asking them what's working, what's not working, what are your future plans, is it good, is it bad, let us know. And then we just take a total pulse on the community, ask them, or I guess the whole county, of, you know, how do you rate roads, how do you rate fire safety, how do you rate internet, telephone, TV, you know, just everything we could possibly ask them, so we kind of get this snapshot of what's the business community thinking. All those results end up going to the state too, and that's how they develop state programs. So job training dollars, site and building dollars, just all the different programs, they kind of get that idea of all these different BREs from all around the state, and they develop. That's where our legislators take that information. So we're going to do a two-day blitz at the end of May and try to just knock out as many BREs as we can, hoping to get at least 40. I think we have 75 companies on our list that we're going to reach out to. I would imagine not all of them are going to be able to meet with us in those 2 days. But I have a bunch of partners coming down from Nebraska Department of Economic Development, Nebraska Public Power, Norris Public Power, and then also the Chamber, Main Street, and then us at Engage. We'll all be just taking, we'll be in teams of two or three going meeting with these companies just back to back to back for 2 days. So if anyone, if you guys are interested and you want to jump in on a BRE, let me know if there's a company that you want to meet with. Everything is obviously very confidential. We take, we're very careful when they tell us all these things in confidence that it doesn't get out there. It's just a chance for them to hopefully express some of their concerns, and we can aggregate that information and take it on to you guys. If it's something like annexing a road or getting rid of a road or whatever that is, this is the information that we use to get in front of y'all. And then also coming up, is we're going to do a housing study refresh. So we did the countywide housing study in 2016. Had a ton of growth in housing since then, and just everything across the board, from income restricted things to senior living to duplexes, triplexes, single family homes. And so now that we're kind of, I think, coming down off that wave of a lot of growth, I mean, we were seeing a lot in, like, I think acreage stuff right now, but it's like, what is that next thing we do to need to recruit workforce? Was our housing keeping up with that? So we're applying for a NYFA grant to cover half that housing study cost. So it would be probably in, I think the thing just came out yesterday, so we'll apply for that grant in June or July, and then hopefully we'll do a housing study refresh later this year. So, and then in terms of travel coming up too, remember last year we did a recruitment mission to Toronto. We actually had some credit left over with that consulting firm, so we're using that up, and then we're doing a Montreal recruitment mission. So we'll be in Montreal, maybe Quebec City if we don't get all of our Montreal trip or days filled with different appointments. We're looking at also Quebec City, which is just up the road from there. So going with a partner from Lincoln Partnership for Economic Development, just like we did with Toronto. So we'll be there in less than a month. Next, they're setting up appointments right now. I just got my first list, and our intern is pulling a bunch of research and due diligence on them right now. So I'll have a report to go over, and we'll know as much as we can about these potential companies before we go meet with them. So, and then, oh, this week is our Connecting Entrepreneurs Communities Conference. It kicks off here in about 45 minutes. So that was it's the third annual of this conference. It was in McCook, then Hastings, and now it's in Beatrice. And we'll have, I think we had over 100 registered so far. The last that I'd heard, I think probably some last-minute registrations. But there'll be 100 people in town spending the night, spending some money, and learning about how to grow their communities with entrepreneurship. So, questions?
Anything new on the StarCraft property?
Anything you want to tell us?
I think you'll see some movement on it here shortly. I mean, just economically, I mean, he owns this place. He's got some money invested in it. At some point, he's going to want to see a return. And in order to do that, it's going to have to get cleaned up, and some stuff's going to have to start happening. So, as you can see, there's nothing right now. But weather's getting nicer. I think he'll do something soon.
Have to spray for weeds. Walker's also sitting on the exec board for SEND. He has a meeting at noon on Thursday that I'm sure he'll make for quorum purposes. But that gives us additional access to USDA grants for low-income loans. Everyone still has the access, but there is a team up there that's ready to help with these loans for starter houses, lower-income homes. I think that's an additional benefit for our area, because that's a regional organization that we're trying to pull more and more opportunities our direction from that organization. And I don't know if you can say anything. Can you give us any sneak peeks on projects that we anticipate are coming this year, is there anything that
no.
You, okay. Well, it's better to ask you than for me to say something, but I mean,
yeah.
For...
ask. So, and obviously this is all confidential, but if you guys have questions and you want to see some of the stuff, it's all in our database. We have, I think, right around 20 active recruitment projects we're working right now. And then, and I think Eric's used this analogy before, but we're just fishing, right? You just fish, fish, fish. Sometimes you get a nibble. Sometimes you get a bite. Sometimes you bring it in and it's not big enough. But we're trying to catch that master angler. So there's those 20 projects that I think are legit businesses looking at expanding. Just a variety of different stages of where they are. There's some legit ones, I think. Yeah, I think we'll see some activity here probably in the next quarter, at least something gets announced.
We like panfish, too.
Yeah, fried. Yeah. This is Nebraska. Maybe we should. It's fried fish.
But no, I think there is stuff happening, even though we don't hear about it all the time.
Yeah, and we're looking at continuing to grow. We started this last year of getting more space available. What are we being able to submit to companies? If it's a piece of ground, if it's some rail ground, if it's a building. So we had a spec building go up last year out in the industrial park, or I guess an addition that's spec space. And then we're still looking for industrial ground. And we had a meeting on it just the other day, and we're getting together with some of our power providers, gas providers, overlaying all those maps and seeing where we have X's. Where's the going to be the cheapest to get infrastructure there? So if there's already big gas lines or substations or rail or whatever it is, you know, if we're putting a piece of ground in front of a company, at least they hoping their price be as low as it possibly can be so they can get in there, build their facility, and they're not spending a bunch of cash on power lines or fiber or rail or whatever it is. So.
Any questions for Walker? Well, thank you, Walker.
Thanks,
we'll see
guys.
You Thursday at noon.
Move to place
I'll be in
report.
Kansas City.
Move to place to report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lyle, second by Bauman to put the Engage quarterly report on file. Vote. 6 in favor. Approve or disapprove recommendation on special designated liquor license for Hesnov Enterprises doing business as Sidetrack Bar and Grill for a wedding reception to be held at the Red Barn Farms event venue on June 8, 2019.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle. Second by Bauman. The Red Barn, that is the one on Sergeant Road.
Make sure they drive slow. There might be patrols out there.
We have the go-ahead from the Sheriff's Department. Do you have anything you would like to say on this? Does anyone have any question on this from the board?
You want to put some gravel on it for us?
Is it safe to have this on this road? Lack of any other discussion, please vote. 6 in favor.
Sharon.
You want to take this, I'll give this to you. You can take it across the hall, and then she'll make you copy, and then you can submit it.
That would take weeks at the city. We're way more efficient.
If you would give that to Michelle across the hall in the office there, tell her to give you a copy so you can submit it.
Probably
you'll be done.
Make sure it's
you're welcome.
In good condition, depending on the size of it.
Approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $170,000 from the miscellaneous general fund to the Gage County Jail budget for additional funding beyond their budget.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Resolution 19-07.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. I assume there will be discussion on this. This will be made up of several things, partially outside holds, partially medical expenses. Sheriff, do you have any other specific items that would be part of this?
And also an evaluation expectation that this would be the last or just the start of it?
And that's a good question. Mostly it's going to be the known. You've got your medical, which really isn't a known. I can budget for it, but you know what you're going to have. One issue I'm going to run into, I'm trying to work with the sheriff on it down in Washington County, is if we hold someplace else that's not contracted ACH facility like we are, then we can't use the medications that they provide to us through that contract, which is a deep discount because they've got a huge pharmacy they use. So if he can't do that, then that means the people I take down there, he has to take out for medical and do their own thing and then submit the bill to us, which could have a sizable dent on us. We're trying to work through there. He's thinking about putting some money in the budget next year to have that, but their budget runs January to January. It's or December, it's fiscal. So, yeah, it's basically medical outside holds, the killers. That's just, you know what you're going to have.
What I calculated was...
Gus, I don't think I remember seeing any bills from Kansas for medical. Have we?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be the outside hold. Do they roll it into the claim?
What they do is they have a system like Nebraska. It's called something different. That they have medical expenses. They'll submit it to state, get the Medicaid rate reduction. They pay it, then send us the bill, and we reimburse Washington County. So then using a dentist and a pharmacy and things like that down there. But if it ends up being people we've had taken care of here and goes down there, now they have to start from scratch because they can't use what we had here, then that might cause a bump up there for us as well. We're still trying to figure that out and see if he's willing to do that. If not, if I have to pull and come someplace up here, that I know a couple places have them, they're about $65 a day, which is a huge hit. So it might be cheaper still to do it, you know, that way. We'll just have to see how it plays out, I guess.
And if you're getting Medicaid rate reduction there, you should be doing all right. I mean,
that helps immensely. Yeah, that helps a lot.
There's probably nothing less to gain anywhere.
No. Well, just going through these numbers, Don got to this $170,000 with. It looks like about $115,000 of that is wages. And correct me if I'm wrong as I'm going through your notes here. What is this?
That's what we have left on the Washington contract and the Dawson contract.
Okay, so Washington has $42,000 approximately left on that contract, $14,000 of that, an additional $14,000 to Dawson. Medical, that's running about $3,800 a month from what you have estimated. So $3,800 a month for medical.
The food.
The food's right around $3,000 a month to our facility, and then some of the claims that have come in will be another $30,000. The budget will be running negative. It looks like there will probably have to be an additional transfer to the jail this year still. So the minority of that is outside holds right now. The majority of it's in-house labor. Where we're at right now, the outside holds weren't incredibly excessive this year. Jail population's down, so the outside hold contracts were already budgeted for, so those are not outside costs. Even though we're asking for additional funds for outside holds, those were already budgeted for.
Cavs question.
Supervisor Bell.
My question is, every year every year is a strong term, often, you present a budget and it comes to us and we try to whittle that down to make sure that it's not a 12 or 18 or 20% increase. We try to get that increase down so it seems to be manageable within the budget. Every year we continue at the end of the year to put more money in. At what point, and this isn't meant to be argumentative, it's just a conversation, at what point do you and your staff look at making operational changes that allow us to stay within that budget that's manageable? I mean, we're maxed out at our property tax levy because of the judgment that we have to pay. And is it a personnel issue? Is it?
Well, it'll come down. Same with the sheriff's office. It'll come down to some severe changes in how we do things, like cut services, layoffs, you know, less cars. I can always keep it low on the top end. Like you said, at the end of the year, it's going to go over. And some things you just can't control those things. That's the problem.
Well, and again, I apologize for interrupting you, but I want to. It doesn't seem like there's really any value to putting any sort of a budget and say, here's X amount of dollars you have to spend for the day or for the year, because it's just It's just, it seems like it's open-ended. Every year we go back. Every year we go back. Every year, and yep, we're constantly putting some more in. So, and I don't think you're being vindictive. Like, well, you didn't give me my budget, so I'm gonna add it. Well, I don't think any of that's going on. But
yeah,
at what point operationally is there fundamental changes that maybe are a reduction in services, maybe are decreases in personnel, maybe are operational changes that allow that to take place? Because there are going to be these surprises that come up from time to time that, oh my gosh, we didn't know that expense was there. But
well, the technology is a killer. That is something there that really hits us hard. Perfect example is I was working on a budget for 1920, and we had tasers we had to purchase. Next year, I believe, is going to be the last payment we're going to make. Just got a guy back from recertifying on taser instruction, and now those are discontinued, just like they always do. Well, not even serves them, probably. And now you start all over again, which was several dollars, or you don't provide that for the deputies, which I don't know is a good thing, because that really is in the fourth continuum, kind of helps us before lethal fourth. You got that less lethal. And so it's just law enforcement is not cheap. That's the problem. Neither is the jail, you know. We found a product, for example, I started ordering that now. They're in little pods. It's for shaving. It disintegrates when water hits it. It's for shaving, body wash, and shampoo. Now, that was 16 cents, I think, a pod, which was a steal. And then with the tariff issues with China, it shot up to 26, which is probably still cheap because I have to provide different products, and I have just one I can do. But there's just little things like that that catch you off guard you don't plan on. You know, you're subject to what happens out there in the market. But
well, and I just wanted to have the discussion in this, because people ask me when we why are you putting more money in there? Because seldom, because I won't say never, but seldom do we have another department that comes forward when we've asked them to live within a budget that they come and say, and I recognize it's different,
yeah,
but I think it's valuable to have that discussion and come up with not excuses but plausible reasons to share with the public as this is what's taking place. Because I know I look at that every year, and I understand we're going to ask you to try and live within this budget, but then every year we're going back in and we're putting more in and we're putting more in, and it just seems like, you know, we're just doing something in the wind to come up with a budget number.
Just one second, John. I will, just as we're discussing this, I know you'll say I'm always standing up for you, but we did cap Gus this year, and we ran a pretty much a flat budget. And so in his defense, he is trying to work within that to a point. The major expense I've seen has been that was unforeseen is medical. Everything else, I think, was fairly planned, other than medical. I feel a lot of the problem is the beginning of the year we spend money, we buy things that we may or may not need, and then we get to the end of the year and then we're out of money. The medical we can't help. Buying things that are questionable, I shouldn't say questionable, that's not the right term. Buying things that are optional is a better, I mean, they aren't questionable purchases or we wouldn't make them, but buying things that are optional earlier in the year sometimes add up. But the medical expense, we had some big medical expenses this year, transports, things like that. Those really are completely unplanned for. Sorry, John.
Well, my question is, this $115,000 for wages, is that what's left to be paid this fiscal year, or that's what we're over?
He's out of money.
Right.
So this is the last I took when I calculated this. I took what pay periods we have left, and
that's what we...
We budgeted for it, but we don't have the money to pay.
Okay, so that's what's left to be paid our employees. It's not an extra amount.
No.
Okay,
that's what was budgeted.
But my question is, if Washington and Dawson have been kind of what we expected, why are we this much under?
Well, those numbers are just numbers we know we have to pay. Still, the money's been spent already.
But what do we spend it on? That's what I'm asking.
Well, like I say, it sounds like we need additional for those. We don't. Those are budgeted numbers, Dawson and Washington. The labor's all budgeted. So basically these items that we're looking at, they've all been budgeted for. They were in the budget to spend. The biggest dollar amount I saw, and it wasn't a huge dollar amount, were medical expenses.
Got a rough idea?
I don't remember what the medical expenses were.
Other thing comes back to bite you on that medical stuff, John, is I just talked to the sheriff last week. Same problem we had. He has somebody in the hospital in Lincoln. Anytime they're there, they went two people on the inmate.
You just have
and because if they come up like on Easter weekend, they charge him $90 an hour for security up there with off-duty officers.
We can just have that.
We kind of figure that into the department business. We just don't have enough staff to cover that ourselves.
Guest meeting now isn't going to do us any good. Let's just get the true numbers and let's discuss it at the next committee meeting.
But so I mean, Gary just asked if we could have the breakdown of the budget for next week,
and we should have.
Obviously, things move around within the budget, but that way we can review these. These are obligations that we do have for this transfer. I mean, their labor, their contracts, holding contracts, things like that. So they are items we have to pay.
But I'm like John. I want to see the details. The devil's in the details. And I want to see why we're spending $170,000, and I want to see it line by line by line.
We'll have that for committee meetings, or if you want to look, I mean, I have a copy of it here as well.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
And that's, I just, again, not, you happen to be here. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying that discussion comes up from time to time, and it's kind of unhanded when you sit there and you kind of shrug your shoulders. I don't have an answer.
And I get the question on the sheriff's budget every time I go out into the community. Why are we spending more money? Why wasn't, you know, and so I want some answers.
Well, you can tell on one is because the bond didn't pass. I can tell you a lot of that money would go away if we had our own facility. That's one. Now, there'll be additional operating costs, probably, but we wouldn't have those outside holds. I'm budget this next one. I'm working up now. I'm probably going to have more medical because the 4 hours or 2 weeks ain't cutting for medical, so I'm looking at 25 hours a week. And that's probably about $25,000, $30,000 a year more, but it's cheaper than going out to hospital or clinic all the time. So I have to weigh those things when we look at that. But, yeah, there's expense. I had a long meeting with Chief Lang yesterday. I'm trying to find ways to shave stuff down there because there's a lot of money going down there, as you all know. A lot of money.
Well, I'll bring that up again. I think, Eric, when you're visiting with the city, one of the questions we have, why isn't the city paying or contributing to part of this budget? We contribute to everything we do with them. Why aren't they contributing back with us on this?
But we have to remember statutorily they're not required to. That would be an optional thing. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying we have to remember that, too. It's a tough argument. Also, with the outside holds, that is cheaper. I mean, people ask, why are we holding outside? A, we have to. We don't have enough room. B, one to really keep in mind is it is cheaper for us to hold the prisoners somewhere else than it is to hold them here. And it's an expense, but it's still an expense that saves us money. Even if we had the room, if we had a brand new jail, it is still cheaper to ship them out than it is to hold them here. So, I mean, we need to keep that in mind. We'll go over these item by item. Sheriff, you're going to love that, but at the next meeting, it answers the questions then. You and I talk back and forth on different things, but this will give the board a chance in a couple Mondays to look at this.
Well, the claims, it's no secret, the claims come over all the time and you see exactly what they are. So it is what it is. You know, they're just, I've just cut back on a lot of stuff. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't.
I just think it's good to have the discussion so that, you know, when people see that and they've got answers, and whether or not they agree with it, at least they're getting answers, because there's a lot of head scratching. And when we get this time of year and we're dumping more in, what good is your budget if you set a number if that's just a hurdle that's really easy to get over?
So. And we can look at more of the items that are controllable. There are going to be uncontrollable items. The medical expenses, we have no idea every year. You can just take a guess at it. This year is probably the highest we've had. That I remember anyway.
Yeah, that's quite a little bit. We had some surgeries last year, I think.
And the transfers. I mean, that's, we've had out of state transfers, things like that. But there are some controllable items. With being over, I would say tell the guys or tell the staff, you know, spending freeze again.
Well, that pretty much only about 2-3 people to order. I mean, so I'm trying to do things different. We're trying to narrow it down. Who does it? When we do it? But sometimes You know, I don't want to get my point and problem where I have at Melfi's office. I just want to not let myself do that, people. It's either going to have to happen or it's not. I mean, I put it out to you. By statute, we're obligated to do some certain things, and I can cut, but only so far. You know, that's the problem. So.
We will have some staff change there. I don't know if you've told the board that or not yet at the jail.
Oh, with resignation on. Yeah, the jail director resigned as of last Friday, I think it was. And so I haven't replaced that position yet. I'm looking at trying to use those funds maybe for more boots on the ground and make just get a bigger bang for that buck than we on the wage there. So we'll see where it goes. I don't know. I'm waiting between now and July to see how it works out on transition, and we'll just reevaluate then by then and kind of see what happens. So
the idea is, though, sharing the responsibility of the jail director between multiple other staff. That'll be a reduction there, where not a reduction in budget, but a change in how funds are used. Yeah. Maybe you staff more efficiently instead of having a director that's a sole person directing that. That'll be shared between different staff. But it's always good, especially leading up to budget time, to be talking about these things instead of waiting until the last minute. Also,
well, I'm going to try to have mine. Done a little earlier because I'm going to have quite a few days in June. I won't be here, so I want to sit down and make sure we kind of on the same page before I'm not here. So,
and we've talked about this on the sheriff's budget. I don't know if you want to give just an update on that. That's running.
Yeah, we're around 80%. I don't think we'll probably get through on that. We'll be a heck of a lot closer probably, but a lot there. It just comes up calls for service. I don't know. I think overtime, we might have been over and overtime again. I'm trying to think. I don't have it in front of me. A lot there determines on what we have going on, investigations. If we have to backfill, people start taking time off. We backfill. That's time and a half if I don't have enough staff in that shift to cover. So, again, it's not a very padded budget either. It's down there. Again, like Eric said, I think we stayed fairly flat on that from last time too. So,
and I think there's with staffing, there's through the collective bargaining agreement, there's a demographic change that the desire to have time off.
Yes, there is
there, which is different. And so, when somebody's off, somebody's got to work, which constitutes overtime. So some of that, and then you get into the whole negotiation prevalent practice, and it is complicated. I'm not trying to jam you up. I just trying to have that conversation so we can. Give some people some.
Yeah, you're right. It certainly put a different light on things since that started.
Line items that looked like you really ran over on were office equipment, and then that was like your scanner and server, the bigger server for more memory for the.
And we had, I think, about four or five computers shot. So. We haven't done it.
There were several computers also.
Yeah, we had four or five, something like that. I don't think we've done server yet. I don't think so.
Oh, that, darn it. So that's not on there.
We're talking about it, but not anything yet.
Okay, maybe let's hold off on that. But the other one that was a large item was outside security for the courthouse, where we had outside staff working when one of your deputies was injured. Mm-hmm. So we had
about 12.5 that was unplanned for. Yep.
About doubled that line just because there were outside people. Yep. But the sheriff's budget will be closer. The jail budget, it's blown way out. And it probably would be good to go through that and see where and why.
And not about judgment. No? It's just about being able to give people answers.
Well, people asking on the street, you'll know that way. You know, so absolutely.
We have a motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Any other discussion?
See, I even made the motion to approve it, though.
There you go.
Vote 6 in favor.
All right.
Anything else for the good of the order?
Davey, have something.
Oh, sorry, Dave.
I need to adjourn. Yeah, I do have something to add.
Okay, you might as well add now.
I apologize. I misspoke earlier when you asked if I had the bid form. There was one included. I did not see it. It's not very specific yet, so I still would feel comfortable kind of going through these items and clarifying some things. I misspoke when I said that I didn't have. I got it in late. I looked through it and I missed it. So,
but you'd still want to wait and get some clarification.
I would. There's just a few things on there that I think it would be nice to really tune it in and make sure exactly what we want.
I suppose if anyone wants to look at those plans too, they could be available here after the meeting.
Yes.
Ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
By Lyle, second by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor. We are adjourned.